When you're building your brand, that's what's going to start attracting people to you. So when someone says, hey, Ryan, do you know someone that's an expert in product management? And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, because that person has built their brand and they're top of mind because they've been consistently blogging and sharing articles about their expertise.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the Brand New You Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you build your brand. We meet here each week to learn how building your brand can help you grow your influence, amplify your online reputation, and ultimately impact your career. I'm your host, Ryan Roten, and today's guest is Michelle Robin, founder of Brand Your Career. Michelle is a marketing professional with more than 19 years of experience in product management, direct marketing, and graphic design. And I can hear you asking already, what does product management have to do with branding your career? Well, that's a great question, and that's what we'll be discussing today on the show. But in short, Michelle has figured out how to leverage her transferable skills, but she's also figured out how her professional marketing skills translate from business to business to people to business career branding. Technically, no longer in marketing, Michelle is now a national certified resume writer, a certified professional resume writer, a member of the Professional Association of Resume Writers and Career Coaches, and frankly, the certification list goes on and on. Michelle, I am looking forward to our discussion today. Welcome to the Brand New You Show.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you are here too. And as a listener to the show, you know that the first question I ask has absolutely nothing to do with your career. But if you could vacation in only one place for the rest of your vacation days, where would you go?
It would definitely be on a cruise ship. Cruising. And the main reason I love cruising is because you get to unpack once and see a whole bunch of different places. Not only that, but you don't have to worry about planning to where to go to dinner or what to see at night, because entertainment is already there for you if you so choose. And plus, the weather's always great, usually in the Caribbean. But someday I'd like to get to a European cruise.
I just went on my first cruise this year over spring break, and I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I got to say, I probably liked it more than I thought I would going in, that's for sure.
Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite vacation.
All right, so tell me, from product management to career coach and resumes, how did careers become your career?
That's a great question. It's kind of a funny story. As a marketer, I always kind of thought it was kind of fun when I was in the corporate world to look for jobs and try to fix my resume to best match that job application that I was going for. And in addition to that, I would always be helping out friends and looking for jobs, regardless if I was looking myself. So when I was looking to kind of do something where I could work from home and use all of my skills, career marketing really fell into play because it leveraged everything that I knew. I had a background in journalism and in marketing and in graphic design, and pulling all those skills together really goes hand in hand with career marketing because they're all important. You need to write a good resume. You need to understand how to market yourself to potential employers.
So tell me, how do you take product management, which I also was in product management for over 5 years, how do you take product management and that marketing skill and translate it into, you know what, I can use some of this stuff in the job search?
It's pretty easy. I always tell people I go from marketing product to marketing people. And oftentimes people are like, oh, I'm not a product, I'm a person. And I agree with that. But really, when you think about the candidate versus the employer relationship, it's very similar to a product buyer relationship. The employer is essentially buying your services, and you have to kind of think of yourself as being a service to that employer. So what is it that you can do best that will help that employer make money?
One of the things that caught my attention about you is you wrote an article titled, Your Job Search is Like a Marketing Plan. And you list out in this article 6 marketing tactics that you can use and apply to any job search. So tell me, how is the modern day job search, which I know has changed a lot over the last few years, how is it more today like a marketing campaign than, say, it was even 5 years ago?
Job search today is much more like a marketing plan because you really need to plan it out. You can't just be throwing your resume against a wall to see what sticks, so to speak, which that kind of equates to sending out applications online. It's such a low chance that you're going to get a call from applying online if that's the sole thing that you're doing to apply for a job. And it's the same thing with marketing. You know, several years ago, people were just pushing out all these messages. And that's what marketers do. They pushed out the messages. Well, now marketers are pulling in people. You know, they're doing content marketing. They're doing their own brand building. So that's kind of how job search really has changed in the last 5 years. You really need to be trying to figure out ways to build your brand. And when you're building your brand, that's what's going to start attracting people to you. So when someone says, hey, Ryan, do you know someone that's an expert in product management? And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, because that person has built their brand and they're top of mind because they've been repeatedly, consistently blogging and sharing articles about their expertise.
The very first marketing tactic that you talk about is called the target, which equals your ideal company and position. In marketing, we have what's known as a customer persona. At the same time, in the job search, that relates to what you refer to as a company persona. Can you explain that in a little bit more detail?
Sure. You know, in marketing, you have a target audience, and that's who you're writing the materials for, and that's who you want to try to attract to your product. Well, in job search, you're looking for that ideal company. And so the company persona is really, you know, who is your ideal employer? What size company is that? Are they an agency? Or are they a corporation? Are they a big corporation like a Fortune 100 firm? Or are they, you know, a smaller, maybe only $1 million company or something like that? So think about the size of the company, even the location of the company. Think about the company culture. All these types of things that are things that you should write down and kind of outline what your company persona would be. Like, if this company had a job for me, I would be running to the door every day because I couldn't wait to get to work.
That's a big difference than, you know, as you even said just a couple of years ago, when really the norm was to go to, say, monster.com or indeed.com. You find a job title that you may like and you send out your resume and you wait. And it sounds to me like we're taking a much more targeted approach now when we're looking for where we want to move our career and our next steps.
Exactly. Because once you have the target company, that's where you can then say, all right, well, who do I know that might work there or knows someone that works there?
Step two is the list, which equals your network. And you always hear, especially in online marketing business, that it's all about the list and the money is in the list. So how does a marketing list relate to the list for your job search?
Well, you're exactly right. The money is all in the list in marketing. And so in career marketing, your list is your network, right? The people that you know and the people that they know. And I think the people that they know is even more important than the people that you know. You can even kind of classify your network into four parts. There's champions who are kind of, think of them as your first level network, people that you know directly. And then there's prospects who might be second level. So these are people that your champions might be able to introduce you to. And they might know someone at your target company, or they might know something about your industry. The next step in your network building is sponsors. And sponsors are people that are definitely going to vouch for you. They're going to pass your resume along. Or if they have an opening, they would hire you. Those types of people. And then there's the activators. And the activators are the people that you're actually interviewing with. They have a job on the table that you're able to get. And so the idea with networking is to try to move people, you know, from being a champion into that activator role. And you can do this by all sorts of different ways. The first way to get to those prospect people is to send a networking letter out to your champions, your first degree contacts, and asking them for advice, insights, and recommendations, and do it in a nice manner. Never ask for a job. But once you do that, then they can say, oh yeah, you should talk to, you know, Susie Smith in such and such company. She'd be a great contact for you. And then you go about having some informational interviews, and that's how you kind of move people through the process.
I love the idea. Really, what you're, the marketing term for what you're talking about is segmenting your list into these four different buckets, and I love that. But what do you tell, or what advice do you give to your clients who look at you when you say that and they say, but I don't have a big network to pull from?
Great question. And a lot of people feel that way. They're like, oh, I haven't been doing anything. I just go to my job every day and put my head down and get to work. And they think they have a small network. But in reality, people have a much bigger network than they think. So start making a list of like everyone that you know, everyone from family members to even your accountant, your dentist, your hairdresser. If you're a woman, your hairdresser knows a ton of people. She'd be a great resource.
My hairdresser won't help me in this case.
No, Ryan, I'm afraid you just won't. You've got easy hair care. But I think it'll surprise you about, you know, how many people you know. If you have kids, you know, parents of your kids' friends can be part of your network. Your neighbors are part of your network. You just never know where that next job lead can come from. So when you start listing on paper people in these different areas, you're going to be surprised about how big your network really is.
Would you recommend people take a look also at their LinkedIn connections, even though we know that a lot of times people just click accept without actually knowing the person? But could that also be a place to start?
Of course, of course. LinkedIn is definitely a place to start. And if you don't know someone that well on your LinkedIn connection list, you can reach out to them, send them a note and say, hey, I saw, you know, that we're connected and that you work or you used to work at such and such. And I was looking at transferring, you know, jobs into that kind of industry. Would you mind giving me a few minutes to ask for some advice and insights or recommendations about how you got to that job? And that opens up a conversation. So try to take some of those online connections and move them offline.
So obviously, as we're targeting a company and then we're using our list to try to find folks to get to that company, one of the things that will help us kind of stand out is another marketing term, which is having a unique value proposition or a unique sales proposition, which you equate to a personal brand. So can you tell me, how does a personal USP or UVP relate to the job search today?
Well, the personal brand is what makes you unique. You know, why are you the best accountant? You know, there's lots of accountants. They all know how to number crunch. They all know the code. They all know, you know, things about audits and taxes and all that type of stuff. But what makes you different? You know, are you an accountant that is actually a people person too? Then hone in on what makes you unique. And the best way to do that is to kind of ask maybe a circle of 10 people. These could be friends, family, former colleagues, managers, whoever is in your immediate circle. And just send them a note and say, hey, can you pick three adjectives to describe me? And while you're waiting for feedback, write down your own three adjectives to describe yourself. And when you get these responses back, see what matches up. And if things are matching up, then that's great. It means that your brand is resonating with other people. And if things aren't matching up, then it's like, well, hey, if these people think this and I don't, maybe I should be doing something else in order to make myself known for that particular trait.
Okay, so let's get real granular and honest here, because you and I both hear from people who will say things like, that personal branding stuff, that's just a joke. It's just a hoax. It's not important today. When you run into someone who says that to you, how do you respond?
When I run into someone that says that, I say, okay, well, what is your reputation in your field? And they'll be happy to explain their reputation. And then I say, you know what? All a personal brand is your reputation. It's what you're known for. Personal branding is a hot term, you know, and it's gotten hotter in the last few years. But all it really is it boils down to your reputation.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a quick way that you can start to determine what your brand is. Are there other ways that you can dive maybe a little bit deeper when you're trying to determine your personal brand that doesn't rely on, say, you asking others? Are there other ways that you know of or that you help your customers or clients go through to help them discover their personal brand?
Oh, for sure. There's a ton of assessments. And I know you use some of these assessments too. The two assessments that I run all my clients through are the Strengths Finders, which tells you your top five strengths. These are not your top skills. These are things that are innate to you that you naturally do well. Another important self-discovery tool that I like is the Fascination Advantage from Sally Hogshead, where she has an assessment that you take, but it still gives you insights on how do others view you And I find that when people take both of these assessments, that they always say that it totally resonates with them. I've never had a client that says, you know what, that's just not me. It's usually like, how do they get in my head and know that this is me? Assessments, I'm a firm believer in those.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, especially, I mean, when you went through your fascination advantage and discovered that you were a good citizen, I am sure that there were times where you said exactly that same thing to yourself, because I know I do that quite often.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely trust and detail-oriented, which is alert, so definitely my strengths.
So let's touch on that just a little bit longer, because I find it fascinating. Pardon the pun. But once somebody identifies their strengths, or say, you know, what their fascination advantage is, how do you help people put that into the context of, this is your brand, this is who you are, and this is how it translates to potentially the position or work that you should be doing?
Well, what I do is I actually take my clients through the next step with Sally Hogshead Fascination Advantage. She calls developing an anthem. And the anthem is made up of, she has adjectives that describe each one of those archetypes. And so pairing those adjectives up with a noun creates an anthem. So for example, I was working with a client yesterday and we had results-oriented leadership as his anthem. And this guy is a VP of sales. And so examples of his career are all going to kind of fall under that. Even reading through his current resume, you can see that he's led teams to, you know, help with the EBITDA growth and help, you know, overall profits overall. And so this was all about achievements that fall into that realm of how he's a results-oriented leader. He can drive those teams to get the results. You know, he succeeds when his team succeeds. So by developing that anthem and then looking at his, you know, experience and achievements, I highlight what those types of things that fit best into that anthem are. And then that helps develop the personal brand.
Yeah, I love the whole anthem thought process methodology that comes with the fascination advantage, because in a lot of ways it helps you create that unique value proposition. But even more than that, I think it gives you as a job candidate, or even as a person, the confidence to know that, you know, you're not weird. You actually have a gift that you can help share and add value to others.
Definitely, definitely.
Which I think really kind of moves us into number 4 on the list of the 6 marketing tactics, which is the offer, or this call to action, where you've got it equaling asking for the job interview. And, you know, anybody who's been in online marketing for any period of time will hear the term call to action. So talk to me about a call to action when we're in a job search.
A call to action when you're in a job search is asking for the interview. So there's lots of places that you can do that. The most obvious place to me is the cover letter. And people, you'll get people, oh, no one reads the cover letter, and why waste my time on a cover letter? Well, I always recommend to have a cover letter, because 50% of the time it will get read. So why would you want to lose out on that 50% that do read it? And it's a great place to ask for that interview. So when you're wrapping up your cover letter, don't wrap up with something that says, you know, hopefully we're going to have the opportunity to discuss a potential career opportunity. You don't want to be hopeful. You know, the person reading it is then going to be like, well, next. I don't want them to be hopeful. You know, take a stand. Say, I'd welcome an opportunity to interview with you. Prior to that, you can even, you know, restate a couple things that make you unique. I'm confident I can apply my marketing skills to your team to get more qualified leads. And then say, I would appreciate the opportunity to interview. Something like that. I know I can help ABC company achieve its goals. So that's kind of how you can wrap it up and have a call to action at the end of your cover letter. The other place to have a call to action is on LinkedIn. You can have it in your summary section. You can have it in the about info, advice for contacting Ryan, advice for contacting Michelle. That's a great place to put it. Make sure that it's known how to contact you. Make it easy for people to find and contact you.
What should that look like? Is it like a one line somewhere in the summary? Is it just that simple, or is it more complicated than that? Could it just be as simple as contact me, do this?
Sure. It could be as simple as that. I'll have 2 tips. In the summary section, if you're an open job seeker, you're actively, you know, seeking a job, you're in transition, the recruiter version of LinkedIn serves up search results slightly differently. And they actually show the first 100 characters of your summary section in the search results. So for my open job seekers, I actually put their name and contact info right up top. So in that first 100 characters, if a recruiter is searching, they can contact you without ever having to open your profile. So that's one kind of quick tip.
So I've not heard that. That's good to know.
Yeah. The other place that I like to do it is towards the end of the summary, I usually have a line of how can I help you? How can I help your organization? You know, if you're an entrepreneur, how can I help you? You're trying to aim at that target client. And in that paragraph that follows that heading is, if you are seeking a financial expert who can save you money and do XYZ, whatever, I would welcome an opportunity for an interview. Please contact me at, you know, and then follow up with your contact information. It's pretty straightforward.
It almost sounds like your heading or your job, what most people would associate as the job title within LinkedIn, shows up as what we would call a title tag on Google. And then the 100 words below it would be that meta description that you would see underneath the blue underline bar in a Google search that would say, here's more information about me. And I love putting that call to action in that first 100 words. I think that's a brilliant suggestion.
Yeah, it's similar. I don't have the recruiter version, but I've gotten training from a recruiter that talked about it. So I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but I do believe what they see is your name and your headline. So your headline should not just be your job title. Have those keywords in there that you want to be found for. And then the first 100 characters of their summary. So yes, they can get a pretty good idea without ever having to open your profile. So similar to what you said with the Google results.
While we're talking about search, let's go ahead and drop down to number 5, which is the channel equals the delivery method. How has the internet or social media changed the way job search is done today?
Oh, it's just made a huge impact. There's some crazy statistic like 98% of recruiters are on LinkedIn looking for job candidates. And then the other crazy statistic is only 50 to 60% of job seekers are on LinkedIn. And I'm like, oh, that's such a missing opportunity.
Yeah, wow.
So social media has really changed the scope. It's a lot easier, for one, to get in touch with the hiring manager. You don't have to go through HR. You can do a search on LinkedIn for your company name and the title that you're typically going to report for. And then lo and behold, it's going to serve up names that are at that company with that title. So you likely can find your hiring manager pretty easily. Twitter is a great way to interact with people on a quick basis, or even if you participate in tweet chats where you could get to know people online. It's just the barriers of entry into getting into that hidden job market, I think, are a lot easier because of social media.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Twitter. I love Twitter. But it sounds to me in that discussion, you're kind of saying that the resume is really no longer the star of the job search anymore.
No, it's not. It's certainly a tool in your job search, but it's no longer the first thing that people see. But going back to the networking, Ryan, you told so-and-so about me and that I'm going to be meeting them. That person is likely going to find me on LinkedIn or Google me before they ever talk to me. So that's way before they're going to see my resume. So those types of things, you got to make sure that your online presence is there. And it's not one of these things where if you build it, they will come. You not only have to build it, but you have to be active on these platforms. People are going to be looking you up, especially in the marketing world. I mean, if you're a marketer and you don't have a presence on some social media sites, they're going to think that you really don't know what you're doing on marketing.
Yeah, you may be a little bit out of touch, right?
Exactly.
So we're obviously talking about my personal favorite topic and discussion here, which is putting your personal brand online. When you work with your clients, if they don't understand the importance of that initially, how do you help them break that barrier, if you will, to understand what their presence is online currently and why it needs to be improved?
You know, that's a good question. And what I've been doing with it recently is I usually take them through LinkedIn once we have their profile up to date and say, okay, now here's all the things that you can do with LinkedIn now that you have a profile in order to, you know, find your hiring manager and do this. However, I know what you're asking is more about your digital online presence. And I do ask people to Google themselves, because that's going to show you, especially if you have a common name, you need to be aware of what else is out there about your brand. And if you have a common name, you know, what other things can be associated with your name that can help you rise up in the search results, you know, rather than just John Smith. Are you John Smith, the accountant? Or are you John Smith, the product manager, you know, stuff like that that can help individualize you if you don't have a unique name. So what are ways that you can start doing that? And obviously, you know, having a blog and even publishing on LinkedIn or publishing on other people's blogs, guest posting will all help drive your search engine results up.
Do you recommend then to your clients that they actually create some content, whether it's LinkedIn or Medium or could even be their own? Do you recommend people do that to help them with search?
I definitely recommend that they start getting active on LinkedIn for sure. Because like I said, a lot of them are intimidated. And if I told them they had to start blogging, I think they would flip out. but, you know, for those that are a little more in the game, I would definitely suggest, you know, publish a long form post on LinkedIn, do something on Medium, share your knowledge, become a subject matter expert, because that's the way that you're going to get recognized faster.
I'm going to bring us back around and I want to talk about something else that you discussed, number six here, lead management and the follow-up, because I think this is a place where I see a lot of job seekers kind of fall down. And it's also very different than it was 2, 3, you know, 5 years ago, which is the follow-up. And in marketing, everybody has what we refer to as a lead funnel, which basically means, you know, you pour a lot of people in the top and then we follow the progress of that funnel down through. How does that lead management or that funnel relate to the follow-up in today's job search?
The follow-up is really important. You know, so once you've done all this work, you got the interview, okay, well, do you go home now? What? You don't sit and wait for the phone to ring. You got to write a thank you note. It's really important. And these days, email is fine to write a thank you note. You can even follow up with a handwritten note because that's going to stand out. Not a lot of people do that. So there's no reason to stop you from just sending the email. You can also send a personal written note. People will remember you. But that's important. And it's important to kind of manage that. And it's even important to manage, you know, leads as you're going through the job search process. You know, in marketing, we call it lead nurturing. And in job search, it's kind of like, all right, well, so-and-so said they were going to introduce me and I haven't heard from them. I need to send them another reminder. Or I can even send them an intro blurb. An intro blurb is saying something like, you know, I'm going to make this easy for you to make the introduction. Here's everything written out. Just copy and paste it and send it over to your connection that you want to introduce me to. So the easier that you can make it for your connections to connect you is how you're going to nurture those leads and get further down the line too. But it's all, you know, in the follow-up and how you make it easier for people.
So obviously there's a lot more work and effort that goes into it today, or maybe it was always the same work and effort. It's just now a whole lot more visible to what you need to do. But how can we relate the lists that we talked about earlier when we've got a whole bunch of people that we're keeping track of and we're applying for different positions and jobs and we've segmented our list into these champions, prospects, sponsors? How do we keep, is there any online tools that we can keep track of all this activity that we may have going on within our job search?
Yes, there are a couple tools. If you want to expand out of your good old Excel spreadsheet, there's an online tool called Jobber. It's a CRM system that's actually made for job search. And I believe they do have a free version of it. It's up to a certain number of contacts and entries that are in the system, but there is a free version. Then you can upgrade if you need more. But what that system does is it helps you track, you know, who you're talking to, what stage that they're in. Is it an informational interview? Is it an interview that you've gotten a job offer and where you're at in that process? And it helps you track it.
I looked at it. I've never used it, but it looks like it could be a really cool and easy way to manage this whole process.
Yeah, it breaks it down. And you can get more complex if you want to, but you can definitely get the simple stuff out of it first.
So you mentioned this a minute ago, and I want to dive a tad bit deeper, not super deep, but a little bit deeper. What do you think about sending thank you notes? I mean, aren't those the equivalent of the cover letter these days that, you know, everybody says nobody reads?
No, I think it's essential to have a thank you note. You know, people took time out of their day and time is money. You need to thank them for that and acknowledge that their time is valuable. Not only that, but a thank you note gives you an additional opportunity to restate your enthusiasm for the job. Maybe if you missed a question in the interview and you said, no, I was thinking about our conversation and here's something I also wanted to tell you. As long as you make it quick and to the point, don't be elaborate in your thank you note. It's definitely an important thing, and not enough job seekers do it. I mean, you would be surprised. You think that the normal process is, you know, go on an interview, write a thank you note. Not a lot of people do it. So when you do it, it's definitely going to make you stand out.
So I want to wrap up our discussion today with a discussion about your business, which is brand, your career. Can you tell us a little bit about who is your target audience? Who's your clients?
Most often I work with director level and above professionals, ideally in the sales and marketing area, because that's my area of expertise. I've been a hiring manager on that side. I know what hiring managers are looking for, so it's very easy for me to help position those people. And in addition to that, marketing people are often so great at marketing their own product, but then when it comes to marketing themselves, they forget everything they know about marketing. But really anyone in a professional position at that director level and above. So I've also, you know, worked with HR and finance people as well.
So you've had your business, it looks like almost 4 years now, and you've worked with several clients at this point. What is like the one thing that if, you know, when people came to you, you wished that they knew above everything else?
All right. Here's what I think pops out the most to me when I'm dealing with my clients that I wish that they would know. Just the ability to position themselves in the right manner. And what I mean by that is so often people are focused on the tasks and they're not focused on their achievements. Like I see a long list of resumes and it's, or even their LinkedIn profiles, and it's, I did this, I did that, and they don't have the quantifiable achievements. And it's not that they don't have them. They just don't think about that because they're like, oh, I was just doing my job. And so their marketing materials coming to me look a lot more like a job description than it does a resume that would be more of, I like to call a resume a personal sales sheet because the resume has to sell you. So I think that's the biggest thing that I wish clients would know better on how to at least call up some of those achievements.
All right, Michelle, let's go ahead and we'll start to wrap up here. What are the best ways for the listeners to contact you?
Best ways, you can check out my website, brandyourcareer.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect on Twitter. Twitter at brandyourcareer is what my Twitter handle is. And I hope to hear from you all soon. I'd love to connect.
Awesome. Any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or tips that you'd like to pass on to anybody that's listening today?
Yeah, my final words of wisdom I would say is write down projects as you complete them. So then you kind of have this career file and you're not scrambling at the last second to, you know, figure out, oh, what was it that I did? And I can't remember what I did 4 years ago. If you keep a file that's always constant, you're always going to have those achievements at hand instead of having to scramble and scratch your head and think about your tasks.
I love it. I love it. Michelle, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Ryan. I enjoyed it.
If you want to become known in your industry, marketing your career is not optional. It's a necessity, and so is having a plan for your job search. Marketers, good marketers that is, know that the key to any successful marketing campaign is having and executing to a detailed plan. The success of your job search is no different. Always remember, you do in fact sell your services, your skills, and your knowledge to your employer. You're not just an employee. You're a brand, and as such, you need to be marketing your career. Thank you, Michelle, for your time with us today and for reminding us all that no one else is going to market our careers for us. We have to do it ourselves. You can find all the show notes over on the blog at ryanroten.com/Michelle Robin. Today's show marks the last interview of season one. Next week, as promised, I'll break down the reasons for the end of the season as well as provide you with the details on what you can expect in season two. I'm excited to tell you all about the show's new direction, which is already in the works. So until next week, I've been Ryan, and I'm out. This week's show was edited and produced by Ryan Roten. The transition music is Tropical Island Loop by N-Dub Music. And the intro and outro, as always, is Pulse by Soundrode.